Hello and welcome to the Women's Rugby Pod, episode 178. I'm Sarah Byrne alongside Johnny Hammond. And today we'll be talking about the Women's Six Nations squad, with it only being a few days away, as well as some of the PWR results that happened at the weekend.
How are you then, Byrne? Have you been? I saw you at Twickenham at the weekend. Yes. I mean, that's not bad, is it? I mean, a bag full of cash for doing corporate stuff, and well done you. That's brilliant. It's great to see you girls doing that stuff. But it must have been a great day with the result.
It was really good, actually. There's a lot of really, really lovely people in the place I was working in this weekend. I have to say, most of the people were backing Ireland, and I am obviously love England, but with how Ireland have been so excellently performing, I did think maybe they'll get the win. But when England won, it was a brilliant game. I was like, they were absolutely brilliant this weekend, and it was so nice to see them have that like clinical energy and really come out of the blocks absolutely fighting.
And the atmosphere, I mean, yeah, wasn't lucky enough to be there, but apparently the atmosphere was about as good as Twickenham gets.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I think particularly with the Italy game beforehand, everyone literally stood up when Italy won in the hospitality boxes. And it was amazing to kind of be in that environment and everyone be behind Italy so much. Yeah, it was really cool.
Did you take a moment just to go, oh, in a year or so's time, that might well be me down there in front of a packed crowd at Twickenham?
I didn't at the time, but always like driving, when I was driving in, I just remember driving in for that France game and there being like crowds and crowds of people and the line for the commercial like shirts and stuff was like 2 hours long. It was mental. So yeah, I think you always have a little bit of like, oh, one day I hope that we can fill these hospitality boxes, we can fill the stadium like the men have and get that same kind of atmosphere again.
Well, you just get yourself fit, and if you're fit, I can almost guarantee that you'll be playing in front of a packed Twickenham next year at the World Cup. As you say, we're going to look at the four squads that we haven't spoken about that have been announced in the last week. The Red Roses squad, the Wales squad, France and Italy as well. We'll have a quick look back at the PWR results of the weekend with that standout performance from your side, Bristol. But look, Bernard, let's get into the Red Roses squad. 8 from Gloucester Hartbury, 9 from Saracens. Surprises, who do you want to pick out? Who's not there that should be there? All of the above.
Well, for me, just someone that I cannot wait to see get back. She picked up an injury at the start of the season, 5 minutes into the Sale game. I mean, not Sale, into the Leicester game, same as me. But Zoe Allcroft, I can't wait to see her back. She just brings another dimension. She works so hard. Her like power and speed across the line now is insane. And the amount of detail that she goes into, she's just a brilliant athlete. So for me, I'm personally really looking forward to seeing her back on the pitch, hopefully very soon. But yeah, Emily Scarrett back as well from injury. I watched her play the Loughborough game against Bristol. She was amazing. She came on, made a half line break, grubbed it through, then another time made an offload, grubbed it through, and they nearly scored. Like, she just brings such skill. Like, she's so skillful to the team she plays in, and the timings of her pass were just putting people into spaces. She is someone who I think, you know, she's been out for what, 14 months now. It's been a long, long time. So I'm really excited and to watch her play and be on form and be like, you know, raring to go. So they're the two for me. But there are a few more people coming back from injury, isn't there? There's Zoe Harrison, been out with her ACL. Really excited to see her back in. We haven't seen her since the World Cup, as well as Abby Ward back in, another second rower. Another extremely high standard, very dedicated to the line out, knows what she's talking about, and a really hard, determined player. So, yeah, there's a few real brilliant players coming back into the squad, which will be really exciting to see how they fit into John Mitchell's way of playing.
Yeah, we're not seeing Harrison, Emily Scarrett, Abby Ward since that World Cup final, as you say. places also for some slightly unknown names. Kelsey Clifford is in there. She's got three caps. Lizzie Hanlon, the Exeter Chiefs prop as well, is in there. Good to see Cath O'Donnell back from injury. Moana Talley back from injury. Mackenzie Carson back from injury. All those have been playing a huge amount. Sophie Bridger makes the squad as well. The Saracens player. Sydney Gregson as well. She's been performing incredibly well. Emma Singh is in there. Helena Rowland, of course. Meg Jones, can't wait to see her light the place up. Vicky Laughlin from Trail Finders, she's made her way in as well. And Ella Vivas, of course, is one of the three scrum halves. No Claudia McDonald, no Berner. yes, we know all about your injury. Their loss is our gain. So we don't mind too much about your injury. No, we much prefer to see you out in the field. Sadly, Claudia McDonald, don't quite know the severity of that neck injury. Of course, she was close to retiring through it, wasn't she? So we do hope that isn't serious. And that's McGilvery. She's been out for a while as well. The Exeter Chiefs 10. England have been very keen to mention her name. Katie Buchanan, currently out injured, but could return during the Six Nations window. Maisie Allen, Delaney Burns, Lady Eve Campion, and Liz Craik will come into the camp for cover this week as well. One other name, which I think will probably stand out for people, uncapped, Maddie Fainarty.
Yeah.
Talk to us about her.
To be fair, I don't know a great deal about her. And I think that a lot of the players, when the team sheet came out, we were a bit like, who's Maddie? purely because, a lot of the time, the England squad, you kind of know who's coming through. You've seen who's playing really well in the Premiership. You're like, oh, yeah, they've been having a great, great job. So I think because she was at Exeter, she played a few caps for Exeter. Then she went back to New Zealand, didn't she? So she's been playing in New Zealand and she's coming back over now. And she's obviously been on Mitch's radar for a while. And I've heard from some of the Exeter players that she's really, really good, really decent player. So it's another one. It's a bit of an unknown, but really exciting if she is this exciting new young player that they want to cap. They love capping a New Zealand player who can play for England. You've got Amy Kakane, LaToya Mason in the past as well. So it's really exciting that she wants to play for the Red Roses and that's something she wants to pursue. I'm looking forward to seeing her on the pitch.
Yeah, by all accounts, was a little shocked by the structure of rugby and the PWR. Back to El Piki, didn't like the unstructured nature of it. Back here. Famous name people may well know. Her dad was a Samoan international, Zach Fainarty, about as tough as they come. Kind of Pat Lamb, back row, tough, uncompromising, big ball carrier. And that's what Maddie brings as well. So I think they're fairly keen to see her play.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. It's, if she does play like her dad, it's something that Red Roses definitely want, is an exciting ball carrying, ball handling player. That's what they kind of pride their forwards pack on. So, yeah, if that is how Maddie plays, then brilliant. Let's get her into the mix.
It's Italy first up over there. And I was at the launch yesterday and we got loads and loads of interviews spoken to captains and coaches across the board, all Six Nations, which will be coming at you next week in two, if not three pods next week ahead of the Women's Six Nations. Yeah, and I was asking, certainly Marley Packer, England don't always like going over to Italy. It's a tricky first game to play. What will England be looking to get out of the game? And, please don't say a win. I'd like a little bit more than that, please.
Italy. When we go away to Italy, they come out of the blocks firing. Like Italy are a team they want to win. They are dedicated to winning. They will put their bodies on the line. And the last few years, they have become more and more aggressive and that want to win has really come through. I think the last time we were away at Italy, we were all kind of took a step. I mean, I think I was on the bench, but we all took a step back going, well, this is a different Italy side. And even when we played them at home last year, they're a brilliant side, and they're definitely someone that could be a bit of a banana skill with just how they play, skin even. So, yeah, I think England will want to dominate the set piece straight away. That will be something that they'll be looking to want to do, and also dominate that physicality. They have some brilliant ball carriers. There's some brilliant chop tacklers. We spoke about Sarah Tanisi before, brilliant chop tackler. So they'll be wanting to control that game. Italy play a really, it's slightly more structured now, but they do play a slightly unstructured game that is all about playing the spaces where they see. So you have, you might get a few unexpected chips and chases. You might get a few unexpected passes out the back, and you're thinking, how did they get that away? So it's about staying alive, staying on your toes and being ready for anything. But I think England will want to try to keep the ball, to keep control, and attack those kind of similar spaces, but maybe under a more structured element of it.
Yeah, and there won't be any slouches. Giro Franco, the all-action flanker, got a knee injury, hoping to have her back. I don't think she'll make England. It's funny, we FaceTimed her yesterday at the launch. Elisa Giordano, the Italian captain. I think she was questioning my credentials. And I said, I knew Giada. And, oh, hey, Joni. She was on the phone. She was doing some running and what have you. And she'd done tackling that day. So who knows? She might be back friendly, but she would be a big plus. But Tunesi, Turani, Rigoni, all these players getting some really good experience in the PWR. Last question, because we must move on to the other squads as well. I just wonder how much, and you may not know because you're not sort of in the camp, but John Mitchell wants to see these players. You've only got three campaigns now to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And those intense times within camp. And John Mitchell will want to see these players, won't he, in a test match environment. And Div, I suspect we may well see a bit of chop and changing. And might be a little bit prescriptive as to what the teams are.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's lead into a World Cup. It's a lead into who does he want to, you know, keep in this squad? Who does he want to contract for the next year that he sees taking us to winning that trophy? So this is the tournament now where it's a chance for everyone to put their hand up. That's why you'll see so many new faces in the team. You've got Sydney Gregson, who's been playing really well in the Premiership, getting a chance at international level. People like Vicky Laughlin, Katie Buchanan, hopefully she gets returns nice and well, and she gets within the teams. You'll see so many chops and changes. You'll see people with three caps playing with people who have 48, 50 caps. England generally like to help support their younger players, so it might be that you have a front row of, you know, Hannah Botterman, like a Lark or Amy, two experienced players, plus then maybe a Kelsey Clifford or someone who is not as experienced. That's how they generally like to support their younger players coming through. So there will be chops and changes, particularly with the amount of experienced players coming through who have not been playing. Like Abby Ward is an example, so many caps to her name, was heavily involved in that leadership group. However, now she hasn't been around for a year, so it's now she needs to have another opportunity as well to show what she can do. Same with Emily Scarrett, who's on so many caps as well, that, you know, she needs to put her hand up and say, I still want to be in this squad for the World Cup. So it's going to be a really hard competition in every single position, and there are going to be chops and changes within this side. But it will create some amazing rugby. So get in, go and watch. Come and watch these England girls, because they will be fighting it out to, you know, say, pick me. And also they'll be having a lot of work done behind the scenes to make sure they're putting this really good game plan together that's going to win us a World Cup. So lots of changes going on, but hopefully for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. 108 caps, Emily Scott, 61 Abby Ward, just to fill in the blanks. And of course, yeah, we can't forget she was regarded as the best fire off in the world, wasn't she, at the last World Cup. Of course, Zoe Harrison on 46 caps. Who are you most excited to see play? Is that really unfair?
No, it's fine. Obviously,
who are you most excited to see playing? I'll answer as well.
I'm really excited to see the girls go out and perform. Like, the amount of work that they've been doing behind the scenes, the amount of meetings and detail that the coaches are throwing at them, I'm just really excited to see how this all comes together and how they do against these sides that are really developing at the rate of knots. Like, it's going to be hard games. For me, I am excited to see Mackenzie Carson back, purely because she has picked up an injury. She's also kind of learning the trade of a prop at the same time as being involved in England, which is what I had to do, and it's incredibly difficult. But she has the physicality, the power, and the physical profile to be able to be this amazing, amazing prop. It takes a lot of time to get there and a lot of hard work and a lot of being like, oh no, I've been sent to space in that scrum. So for me, my personal journey, really looking forward to see Mackenzie hopefully get some more opportunities this Six Nations. She did really well in WXV, as well as Hannah. Hannah Bosman's been playing really well in the Premiership. She had that really unfortunate injury in the towards the final of the World Cup. And she was coming back from that, picked up another bit of a knock to that knee in the Six Nations afterwards, and then has been coming back through the WXV, played really well in WXV. She'll definitely be probably their starting, or someone they'll be looking to start this Six Nations at the start of the tournament anyways. And she's been doing really well. So I'm so excited to see those guys battling it out, pushing each other, and how they both really excel in that role. That's from me being a prop geek though. So that's from my kind of expectations.
Fergie was right though, wasn't he? In the end, Fergie was right about you, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I am an absolute nose in the line out in the scrum, so that's it. But also, it's exciting to see Sydney Gregson. She's been going really well in the Premiership. Bridger hasn't played too much or come off the bench for Saracens most of the time this season, but she was exciting in the lead up to WXV. There's just a few new faces that I'm really excited to watch. And obviously, Sadia Kabeya back in the team, back fit and healthy. What an athlete she is. I'm definitely going to be watching and, you know, cheering her on from the sidelines as well, because she had a bit of an unfortunate time with her hammy just before WXV. So, yeah, excited for her to be back on the team sheet as well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Sards, go rip it up. Looking forward to seeing her play. I immediately go to the centres, if I'm honest. It's fairly obvious that Emily Scout, I suspect, will start at 12. And I just wonder whether that might be John Mitchell's way to have those two ball players. Whether it be Holly Aitchison can go in at 12, can't she? Helena Rowland could potentially go in at 12. Obviously, Emily Scout at 12, Sophie Bridger, you know, is a footballer and a kicker in a different role to how Tatiana Hurd is, but just a midfield of Emily Scarrett and Meg Jones, who I have to say at times this season unplayable. What a centre partnership that is.
I think, like, yeah, brilliant. Scazzy, I don't want to speak all about Scazzy because she's just a brilliant player in herself, but With Scazzy coming back, it really throws a spanner into the works, into that back line, because you've already got such a brilliant back line of the nines. You know, they've got their own battles going on. We've got three excellent nines there. You've got Mo Hunt, you've got Lucy Packer, you've got Ella Vivas, all bring something slightly different. I'm really looking forward to Ella getting some more game time, hopefully, and learning how to control that international rugby game. She has a brilliant speed of the ball. But so does Lucy Packer and so does Mo. Mo is all about tempo. So that's going to be an interesting battle in itself, who comes out on that starting shirt. But then you've also got Holly Aitchison, who has been fantastic, is a real attacking threat, a running threat, kicking threat, is playing the style of rugby that Mitch and Lou Meadows want to see. But then you've got, you know, Zoe back in as well, who is a kicker, a more controlling kind of 10, wants to play the territory game, can attack, But her first thought is, let's get these kicks in. Let's, you know, she's so precise with her kicks. And it's the way that, you know, Summer Middleton wanted us to play. It'll be interesting to see how that goes in that battle as well. Well, and then you've got all the other backs to kind of, that can mix into that 13-12 channel. You've got Tat, excellent ball carrier, brings something that no one else brings, is that ability to crash through the line, take 3, 4, 5 defenders with her and still get a line break. So you've got Tatiana Hurd, you've got Skaz, who again, brilliant ball carrier, but also, like we said, has that all-court game, can kick it, can spiral bomb it, can chip it, can offload it out the back. Got years and years of experience with her in those centre partnerships. But you've also got Meg Jones, you know, magician of the game. You've got Helen Rowland, who is very similar, very magician of the game as well. They're all very interchangeable. They can all move around into the, all three roles, most of them. So I think it's going to be that back line. I could not tell you right now who they're going to pick. I couldn't. Like, everyone is on form. Everyone is doing so well. It's going to be a really interesting to see who kind of they see grow throughout this tournament, who they want behind the scenes leading the pack, leading the team forward in that back line. To get to that France game, I think that will be the key tell. Who they pick in that game will probably be who they see as their starting back line. But it's going to be a hell of a battle.
Let's look at the Wales squad then. As I say, we're with Jan Cunningham yesterday. We're going to get Hannah Jones on as well, the Wales captain. Very settled. But depth has been an issue for Wales. And that is something that's becoming less of an issue now.
Yeah, they. I think Wales have, for the last few years, put out a brilliant performance for 40 minutes, really challenging, really kind of dominating. Then it kind of gets to that second half, and that's kind of when other teams seem to pick up their momentum again and kind of get back into the game and get on top. So, yeah, for Wales, it's all about creating that 80-minute game. And for that, you need the depth and strength within the squad. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do now, bringing in some newer players. Two of our Bristol players, Molly Wilkinson, apparently has been going brilliantly in the Celtic Cup. Be exciting to see if she gets opportunity at 10. And as well, Jenny Hesketh, who's been really good for Bristol at fullback, but can cover all three. So it's nice to see that they've got some new faces in to create that strength and depth, but also... You've got the likes of Jazz Joyce back, who's been playing sevens, as well as Kaylee Powell and Courtney Keat, who's been out with her knee injury. So they've got a lot of great players coming back and a lot of really good youngsters coming through.
Yeah, and as you say, a few chances for Wales under 20 players. Some of those players coming out of the Celtic Challenge. Someone I'd pick out, Shona Wakely. Wife of Nick, the GB Sevens coach, Shona Powell Hughes, as she used to be, incredible energy that she brings. Great to see her back. Hesketh, as you say, another Nell Metcalf, hat trick at the weekend. I think she's got a good chance of starting on the wing. So yeah, good to see those players that are sort of playing some really good rugby in the PWR. Natalia John and Gwen Crabb. Both have been, were out injured, weren't they, for WXV. So really good to see them back. And they all kick off at Scotland at Cardiff Arms Park on Saturday. Anyone else we need to pick out from that squad?
Well, it's really nice to see Alicia Butcher's named in that squad after her return from her injury at the World Cup. God, I feel like I'm just listing off everyone's injuries, but there's so many brilliant people returning that kind of missed that chance at WXV or haven't played so much rugby recently. It's great to see her back. She's been smashing the Premiership. I think she's been in Team of the Week like the last 4 or 5 weeks running. She's been one of our best players at Bristol, the line break she gets and the work rate she gets through. She's been fabulous. So looking forward to seeing her back on that in that Welsh jersey, to hopefully to create some more jaw-dropping rugby for us. But as a front row, I'm going back to the front row. Gwenny P, also been playing for Bristol, doing really, really well. And again, you've got Kelsey and Karis Phillips, who always battle it out for that hooker shirt. Both have been playing well, so it'd be interesting to see who gets the shirt from that side. But in regards to their front row, you've got Cecilia as well. Again, great player. Donna Rose have been playing well as well, back from her knee injury. Their front row is always a challenge to play against. They are a very good, very strong, heavy front row. So it'll be good if they can use that as a weapon against other teams this year.
And as I was talking to Jan yesterday, like we're talking about that England back line, that Wales back row, I mean, Alicia Butcher's, as you say, has been a real constant, hasn't she? And I suspect she will play. But then where else do you go? I mean, because Natalia John has played some rugby at six. Abby Fleming has been a real stalwart for Harlequins this season, whether in the second row or at six. Kate Williams has been playing some really good rugby for Gloucester Harbury. Bethan Lewis, the same. She's gone up another level for me this season. Bethan Lewis in that back row. Georgia Evans. And he got Alex Callender, who, you know, not a PWR club, but, you know, ripped it up in the Celtic Challenge. That's a very mobile, hostile, aggressive, in-your-face back row, wherever you go. And then you Shona Walkley's in that mix as well. Oh, tough decisions. Yeah. But that's what you want as a coach, right?
Yeah, really hard decisions. You've got Bryony King as well, who is a kind of workhorse, hard runner. Shona Wakeley.
Go to the second row and then, yeah.
Yeah, Shona Wakeley, who, when I haven't seen her play recently, but when I first came into the international scene, she was your hard carrying, hard to stop number eight, which is also what Wales also need. So that's brilliant. You've got Alicia, who is just a brilliant player, all-round player, and also just this lovely, smiley person, who I imagine is what they want on their team as well. Georgia Evans will literally die for rugby. she will put her heart and soul on the line. She's been playing brilliantly for Saracens. So, and yeah, Alex Callender apparently been playing really well in the Celtic Challenge. So all of those, and Bethan Lewis, like you said, again, been playing really well for Gloucester Hartbury. That's going to be a tricky back three to pick. It's going to really depend on what game plan they want to go out with for each team and who offers what for that game plan. I think that will probably be the best way to pick that side.
Yeah. Some really nice selection decisions for Jan Cunningham to make. Kath Rich is in there. Karis Cox, those of you who watch the PWR. Courtney Key, good to see her back. As you say, Sevens players, Kelly Powell, Jasmine Joyce back in the mix as well. Last word, just before we touch on Shannon Harris, who obviously is not in this Welsh squad, retired, announced her retirement last week. Thraki George, I mean, she could own that Welsh shirt for the next 10 years, couldn't she?
Yeah, Clayton is been playing so well for Gloucester. The kind of space she sees, the length and the power in her boot that she gets to get Gloucester into their 22, she's just been playing really, really well. So, yeah, it'll be really good to see her in that red shirt, kind of feeling comfortable to be herself and to really kind of flourish into this Welsh international 10. Now she has that opportunity to really own it. So yeah, again, really exciting to see her in that red shirt.
She's just going to put Wales in the right kind of place. We discussed that pack. That's a really strong, on paper, that's a really, really strong pack. And if you say you have a Kira Bevan inside Craigie, like she has at Gloucester Harbury, an experienced player who can do the bits and pieces as and when it is required. That is going to be a Wales team playing in the right areas and playing some good stuff, because Thraki George is hell of a footballer. Yeah. Hell of a footballer. Anyway, a quick word on Shannon Harris. We said in last week's pod that we'd just let you guys have a little word on Shannon Harris. What was she like to play against?
Yeah, she's definitely a handful to play against. Now, always lovely off the pitch, though, you know, shake hands. Not that she wasn't lovely on the pitch, but definitely she's just those back rowers, you know, they want to have a little bit of a push and shove. They want to try and get in your head a little bit. But the amount of work rate she put on the ball and the amount of meters she made in her carries and offloads that she did for Wales was amazing. She was always one of our players that we would kind of single out prior to the game to be like, you know, we've got to keep this one you know, under wraps a little bit. So yeah, fair play. She's had an amazing career, and I wish her all the best in her retirement. But one hell of a player.
Yeah, played in 4 World Cups, a 13-year international career. Made a debut actually at 2010 World Cup against Australia. 10 tries in World Cup history, including 4 tries against New Zealand. Now, on the surface, it doesn't sound incredibly impressive, but Wales tend to get hammered by New Zealand, if we're being honest about it. And to score tries against them just shows the will and the might of the lady, a real force of nature on the field. And yes, thank you for all you've done for Welsh women's rugby and for women's rugby in general. Enjoy your next chapter, Sioned. Perhaps we've got her on the pod during the Six Nations. She can give some thoughts about her former team now. But yes, good luck in your next chapter.
We'll look at the French and the Italian squads after we've heard from Rory with the news from the rest of the world.
I'm Alicia Butchers and you're listening to the Women's Rugby Pod.
Hello, I'm Rory Taylorson from Weybridge Vandals Valkyries. It was a PWR round 13 at the weekend. On Friday night, Gloucester Hartbury hosted Harlequins and put them to the sword, 57-24. 9 tries in all, with a hat-trick from winner Nell Metcalf. On Saturday, it was a big day for Sale Sharks at the Salford Community Stadium, where there was a record crowd. But Ealing Trailfinders spoiled the party, winning 26-10. Kate Zachary with a couple of tries. Exeter bounced back from their loss to Gloucester Hartbury by beating Sardia's Loughborough Lightning, 43-7, helped by Kanako Kobayashi hat-trick. The result of the weekend was at Shaftesbury Park, where Bristol won comfortably on the scoreboard against Saracens, 35-10. The Bears started with a bang. 2 tries in the first 6 minutes, then went on to score 21 unanswered points in the second half. So Gloucester Hartbury on top with a perfect 13 from 13 records, dropping only a single point in the process, and they have now secured a home semi-final berth. Saracens are 14 points behind in second. The league now takes a break for the Six Nations, starting back up on the 11th of May. In the Challenger Series, the 7 Series that runs below the HSBC World 7 Series has continued. The second round took place in Montevideo, and it was China who continued to dominate, beating Argentina 38-7 in the final with Belgium in third. China lead the standings on a perfect 40 points, then Argentina, Belgium and Uganda. The top 4 post teams after the 3 rounds will go into a new promotion and a relegation playoff competition and the HSBC 7's 2024 Grand Final in Madrid. The third and final round takes place on the 18th and 19th of May in Krakow, Poland. This Saturday, the Netherlands and Colombia go head-to-head in Amsterdam for a place in the WXV3, a huge game. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff, and you'll find that on the Dutch Rugby website. Super Rugby Albiki, round 2 at the weekend. The Blues women lost at home to Chiefs Manoa, 10-17. Hurricanes Poa got the first win, 36-29 over Matatu. At this early stage, Chiefs remain the only unbeaten side and lead the way in the standings. This week, Hurricanes Poa travel to the Blues women. That's on Saturday at 2:05 p.m. from Bell Park. And Chiefs Manoa hosting Matatu, also on Saturday, with a 4:35 kickoff at FMG Stadium Waikato. That's me done for another episode. See you next week when we'll only be days away from the start of the Six Nations. This is Rory Taylorson signing off.
So as Rory has just mentioned there, those results from round 13, Gloucester 13 from 13, only a single point dropped, secured a home semi-final, 14 points behind Saracens in second. Yeah, that big break now till the 11th, 12th of May. But let's look at that results. Gloucester Hartbury, you got down there to Gloucester Hartbury against Harlequins, 57-24. That's a thumping, 9 tries.
Yeah, to be fair, at half time it wasn't that bad. I think it was like 12-21 or something. I don't know, might be wrong, but it was something around that. And I remember being like, "Oh, that's a hell of a score for half time." I didn't expect it. But yeah, then Gloucester just literally came out of the blocks. He had their wingers scoring try after try, and it was an exciting game to watch for if you're a Gloucester supporter. But yeah, I spoke to Shauna Brown at the men's game on the Saturday, and I think she just said, "Yeah, it's just one of those things where you gotta keep going out and trying." But there wasn't really anything you can do when the beast is in that mode.
Yeah, it's the circus rolls on. I'm not sure that works or not. Big day. Well done, Sale. Record crowd up there. But Ealing, boo Ealing, spoiling the party for Sale. No, I jest. 26-10, Kate Zachary. See that try from Kate Zachary?
Yeah, really good.
Oh, the pace. If you haven't seen it, she picks up, 9 goes wide. It's Emma Swords, isn't it? She goes wide. It just means a massive gap. Kate Zachary leads her second invitation. Incredible pace. Exeter bounce back. You expected them to do that possibly. I'm surprised at that score margin, 43-7 against Sardis Loughborough Lightning.
Yeah. I think Loughborough, when I saw them at Bristol, they looked really well put together. But I think it's always really difficult to play Exeter. They're either brilliant or they're like their own worst enemy. I think that it was a day they were brilliant. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, you can also have your best day as well. But if you're playing against a team where everything's clicking, you're going to end up with score results like that. So, yeah, I do really feel for Sardis Loughborough Lightning. But, yeah, well done to Exeter for bouncing back.
Yeah, and it just switched the team around a little bit. Alex Tessier was at 15. I just wonder whether we're just going to see a slight shift, whether using her boot from 15. She hasn't played a huge amount of rugby at 10. She's more of a 12 when she was at Stade Bordelais. And I just wonder whether that control from 10 is there, or whether what Susie Appleby, the coach, wants is being put out there on the field. So I wonder whether we might just see a little rearrangement in that back line.
I think that's a really smart move, though, from Exeter to play against Loughborough. You look at Loughborough's backs, you have Emily Scarrett, kicker, Helena Rowland, kicker, Helen Nelson, kicker. You look at all the people in those positions and how Loughborough want to play. I would put my strongest kicker back at 15 so she can get on the ball if she's comfortable there to cover that space, and they are comfortable to work in that back three dynamic. Get her on the ball and ping it right back down. That's kind of the kicking game you would look at if you're playing against a lot of experienced kickers on the other side.
Quite right. It was Ron Wilkins, the veteran Welsh international, who was at 10. And then Kobayashi came on early, didn't she, for Katie Buchanan. Real shame Katie Buchanan picks up an injury, because I think she may well have started for England. She's been in that good a form. But let's get to the result of the weekend. The Bears, amazing start to the game. 35-10, I should say. 2 tries in the first 6 minutes. You've got to be happy with that kind of start. And they went on to score 21 on odds of points in the second half. The first time that Bristol have beaten Saracens.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it must be, because that's... I know we've beaten Gloucester and Quins and Exeter in the past. So, yeah, this must be the first time that we've probably beaten them, which is great.
For me, that's the statement result of the league so far.
Yeah,
where we are in the season and what have you. Yeah, coming towards the end and what have you. Ahead of this break, you get a nice positive break because you've gone off on a performance like that. Beating your nearest and dearest in the table, let alone the most successful side in the history of the league. Hell of a result.
Yeah, and I am so proud of the Bristol girls. We could have beaten them at Christmas. We were on the front foot. We were 10 points in front. And we came out in the second half. And I think we just kind of crumbled under that pressure. Fair play to Saracens. They know how to play the game. And it wasn't our day. After that, we had a real chat. And Phoebe mentioned a few episodes ago, of like, we have to be able to manage that pressure. We have to believe in ourselves that we are able to win, because we are, but we're such a nice group. The girls don't really always, you know, back themselves. And this is the last, since Christmas, I think everyone was seriously disappointed. Everyone's come out different, totally different, really there, believing in themselves, going to get it. And we got that win against Exeter. We were so close against Gloucester, we just didn't quite have the right tactics to exit. And I think if we did have the right tactics to exit and get back into Gloucester's half, we could have won that game as well. So to see them come away and score within two tries in the first 6 minutes, brilliant, brilliant. Wren, our little Wren, she's been playing so well, and she kind of got kind of a setback and not pick. She's super young, and she had the opportunity to start, and she's played so well the last few games. She just absolutely ripped around everyone in that Saris game on the edge, and really, really proud to see her stepping up and be like, hang on a minute, I've gone away, I've worked really hard, and this is what I can do for a team. So, yeah, Bristol are doing really well, learning as they go, picking up mistakes, but also then trying to change it for the next game. So, yeah, fair play to Bristol. Really happy to see them with that. And again, brilliant set piece, as always, from the Bristol Bears with the players that they have within that side. They should be having good set piece, and they have been having good set piece.
Yeah, Renika Bonner, we'll just fill in the details there. The young winger, she scored, did she not? Nice little try towards the end for her. No, a couple of scores she got that 6 minute as well. Amberry kicking nicely. So well done, Bristol. Just one other thing I wanted to talk to you about off the back of looking back at those PWR results. Was Bryony Cleal halfway through the season? Well, not halfway through the season, but three quarters of the way through the season, leaving Harlequins to go back to Saracens. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see. Obviously, there must be something that, you know, me and you don't know, or something that's happened, or maybe just players not happy. It happens in tournaments. It happens in the Premiership. People might not be happy one place and want to move back. I can see why. Saracen, she's been there before. She knows the setup. Her sister's there, which, you know, the Cleal twins are always a force to be reckoned with in the rugby pitch. So, yeah, obviously there was obviously something she wasn't happy with. No idea what that could be, but yeah, wish her all the best at Saracens, and I hope it's all okay at Quinn's, and that they have someone else there to play. I think it's actually allowed a young player to come through who played from under 20s to now get a start in that kind of tight head role. So although it's sad to someone to leave the club, it then creates opportunities for youngsters to come through, and hopefully she'll thrive in that environment.
Yeah, you're being, let me say, diplomatic, and as you should be. These are players and friends, or whatever you're playing with and against and what have you. From a journo's point of view, it's an Australian who left pre-Christmas, Bella McKenzie, Caitlin Leaney. Again, quite know this pre-arranged in terms of the contract, whether the contract's in place in Australia. But yeah, to have a senior England Red Rose player leave through this season, it doesn't ring well. And as they quite often say, there's no smoke without fire. Latcher gets a chance to start in that three shirt for Harlequins now, so there's no problem there. And Hannah Duffy has come back from injury as well. So yeah, there is a bit of cover there for Harlequins. But yes, as we mentioned before on this hot pod, I'm not sure things are quite all well in the quarters. As Roy has said, that table is tight now, isn't it? As I say, it takes a break now for some time, and they'll all kick off again all the three games on the 11th of May. Saracens, Sale, Quins up against Leicester, Exeter travel to Ealing. So French squad been announced. Yeah, some familiarity to that as well. The Banets, Boulards, Bruno Sansus, these kind of players in the back line. Ménager is there as well. Vernier, you will know as well. Karen Drouin back from sevens. Maybe that penalty in the semi-final at the World Cup. And the young fly half as well, who Lina Quiroy from Blagnac. So they'll be battling it out for the 10 shirt. Up front then, Sarah Byrne, who's catching your eye?
For me, standing out is the French nines. You had Sansus, who was this brilliant, fantastic, kind of the key talisman for France. And they've played with her for the last two seasons. Previously to that, it was Bourdon Sansus, who now obviously married together. But Pauline's been fabulous as well for the last, I don't know, 4 years or however long I've been in the England squad. So they are key players to France, and they totally change the game for them. They speed it up, they control it. They are not afraid to show some flair themselves. You see chip and chases in spaces, you think, oh, I wouldn't do that. And they pull it off and they score. So really looking forward to seeing her back. I assume Bourdon Sansus will be in that starting nine shirt, because they generally stick with her, or when Sansus was playing, they would stick with Sansus as well. So really exciting to see her. So that, for me, is someone I'm looking forward to watch.
Yeah, absolutely world-class. But yeah, that pack is going to be tough and uncompromising, isn't it? Hermé still in there, Medusa Fall. New captain, Mene Felu, in that second row, speaks very, very well. Front rower, Sochar, Joyeux, Desailly as well, Bernadou's in there, Bartholomew, and then some players playing in the PWR as well, Ruffinu, the hooker, and then a couple of fresher names, but I'm not sure we'll see them sort of starting, but Kira Zago from Stade Toulousain, and Amber Oyembe from Grenoble Amazons, and Chloe Vauclin from Stade Rennais. So a good spread across the Elite Feminine. Expecting anything different in terms of tactics from France? And if people haven't seen France play before, what kind of team are they?
France, we always say, like, they play a very exciting style of rugby. They do have a really good scrum. They do have a really good set piece. They do have brilliant kickers, and they do have really good structure. So in terms of comparing to England, very, very similar. But they also just have this ability to play what they see and kind of just play what's in front of them. Very similar to their French men's side. They have this amazing amount of flair, which sometimes doesn't always pay off for them, which sometimes can be a way that other teams can kind of creep back into the game. But their defence, the hits that you've got players like Ménager and Full particularly, their defensive hits that they make are incredibly difficult to break down. They are a really good, exciting team, and will probably give England the biggest run for their money. They do have a lot of familiar faces and names within that side, so I'm not expecting to see anything too different. But with the likes of the youngsters coming through, some new fresh faces, I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few things that are slightly different to France. Maybe a little bit more structure. But I really can't say, to be honest. I just know that they're going to be have an exciting tournament.
They will. They'll be right up there, won't they? Certainly in terms of the personnel that is there. And Italy announced their squad. Yeah, good that they've got their contracts sorted. We've had a little talk about Tunesi, Turani, Silvia Turani at Harlequins, of course, Sara Tunesi at Sale, Beatrice Rigoni, of course, Silari is still there, Sofia Stefan. So, yes, lots of Familiar names, Giordano Duca, in those forwards as well, Guy, these kind of names, you will know, Locatelli, alongside the captain, Elsa Giordano. We really want Italy to take another step forward, don't we? Have promised so much of late, and particularly to the back end of games, they seem to fall away a little bit. Again, who's jumping out of the page at you from that Italy squad?
It'll have to be Rigoni. She plays some amazing rugby. She's a real threat. She is also really hard to read. What she's going to do? Is she going to kick it? Is she going to run it? Is she going to pass it? That kind of player, and kind of the ability to just literally play and react to what she sees, makes Italy really dangerous. But then you do have in the forwards Sarah Tanisi, who is, again, the last time we played them away, was chop tackling people left, right and centre. She was all over England. But again, you've then got more experienced players like Sylvia, who plays for Harlequins. She's, although a lot of them have come over to England, I think it will be really good for them to play within teams that probably have a lot of structure around them in the Premiership. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how that then translates into their international side, and how that kind of works for Italy. They have done really well to develop all areas of their game, and especially the aggression that they have within them as a team. So it'd be interesting to see if they can add that little bit more structure to their game, and if that has come through from the Women's Premiership in England, and if that can flood through into their game. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it certainly will. And they'll like being at home, and Rigoni will like being back in the sun of Italy, not the cold north. I think we've told the story before, but it tells you everything you need to know about Rachel Taylor. But Rigoni, quite famously, I think, you know, likes her sunglasses, tends to walk out of the Six Nations game and she in her sunglasses. And that was exchanged for a snood by Rachel Taylor on sort of the first couple of days that she arrived in Manchester. Said, that'll be far more useful for you while you're here at Sale. Yeah, we look forward to seeing Italy. And we speak to both captain and coach next week on the pod for you. So just to remind you, round one of the Women's Six Nations 2024 kicks off 8-9 days away now. It's exciting, isn't it? France against Ireland, quarter past two, Stade Marvin in Le Mans. That's interesting, isn't it? All the petrol heads watching a bit of rugby as opposed to F1. But they love it, the French. They like travelling around and showing their wares around the country. Wales against Scotland, 4:45 for the Cardiff Arms Park. And then on Sunday, 3 o'clock, Italy against England from the Stade Sergio Lefranchi in Parma. BBC for those ones on the iPlayer. And we'll have you believe BBC Radio 5 Live is broadcasting them as well. All the details on the Women's Six Nations website, of course. That's it for another week, Berna. All good fun. Looking forward to next week. As I say, hear from the coaches to the Six Nations teams, all captains as well. And then, yeah, we had this idea, didn't we? We were talking earlier on about possibly doing a pod later in the week once the teams are announced, and giving your reflections on that. What are you up to this weekend? Is it feet up? A bit of looking after your nephews again? What's in the calendar?
No, this week I'm actually kind of doing a little rest week. I'm going cold water swimming actually on Saturday morning.
Where's that?
Well, it's not. Well, I used to go to Clevedon Marina, but ever since I've seen a picture of this massive eel come out of there, I haven't been able to go back. I'm going to try Porter's Head Open Air Swimming Pool. They do cold water sessions on the weekend, so I'm going to go and try that out. Now I'm allowed to float about a bit more with my knee. Looking forward to that. Then I'm going to go see some comedy in Bristol in the evening. And then actually on Sunday, I have booked a spa day to relax and, yeah.
Why have we not?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, yeah, just before the Six Nations, it'll be nice to have a, although I'm not playing, my heart will be racing for them and hopefully popping into camp a few times to see how everyone's getting on as well. So I'm sure it's going to be a busy few weeks for me, even though I'm not playing. So yeah, going to put my feet up.
Yeah, how does that work? Because especially under a new coach, and there'll be some new ideas and stuff. Do they ask you to come into coach into camp once in a while to keep across stuff, or is it a matter of you knocking the door saying I'm missing the girls?
Well, when I first got injured, Mitch he gave me a ring and he was lovely and he was like, we want you to still come in and develop your leadership skills and stuff like that. So I rang him the other day and I was like, oh, I hope the first camp went well, just want to like get a few dates in, when do you want me to come in? He was like, yeah mate, just come in whenever you want. I was like, what? I was like, doesn't work like that, hey? but he just meant like, as in like, he wants me to still be involved in it and, you know, keep up to date. So having a few calls and phone calls with him, I'm probably going to pop in and also just cover some of my physio stuff with the physios because they just like to keep an eye on. So yeah, I think I'll still be knocking in and around on some days and some meetings and stuff like that. But most of it I'll be on the sidelines, hopefully cheering them on the pitch.
Absolutely. Great stuff. We look forward to seeing nice nails, facials and all the rest of it. The results of your pampering day on Sunday next week. Have a lovely weekend. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Have
a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye.